This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, welcome back at Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It is Thursday, and there he is. This is Johnny Lupinacci here doing the intro. Because Dr. Tim Slecker, he was just having to do a little reboot, and there's a reason why. We'll get to it, but he had to do a little reboot to join us today. Yesterday, though, before we even jump into the fold, Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, excellent. Absolutely wonderful.
You sound great. You sound great, man. That's excellent. So we'll get to where Tim is, because Tim is joining us not from typically where he's, you know, joining the show, but he is on a special mission. So, and no time travel required for this special mission, but, you know, Tim is on location in Minnesota, but we'll get to what he's doing there and we'll talk about it in this show. Yesterday, though, we had a great time, kind of a Democratic Party rally over at the NBC. Minocqua Brewing Company in Madison, Wisconsin. So folks all across Wisconsin got to listen. And for all the folks who picked up the podcast later that night and today, got to listen to kind of a live party over at the NBC. And it was great conversation, great topics, really good stuff, man. I want to chop it up with you, Tim, when we get a chance. But I just wanted to come out of the gate saying, you know, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. If you want to listen to the last night's show, grab the podcast. You know, go to the Civic Media website, grab it, or get it through whatever service you stream your podcast through. We're on all of them. But you can listen to that. I'm calling it, you know, the Dem rally party at the NBC. Tim, though, let's get to you, man. You have been traveling. You are on location.
Absolutely, man. Just going all over the place. Here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for the National Higher Education Teaching Conference, Johnny. That's it. National Higher Education Teaching Conference. There's a conference to celebrate great teaching in higher education, and I'm here on location right now with amazing people. I mean, I just got here, so did a couple handshakes, but you know, the whole idea, we talk about teaching and learning. We do a lot of teaching and learning in K-12. We do talk about higher education, and here we are, though, to recognize, to where is great teaching occurring? Well, actually here, lots of people celebrating teaching in a college. And Johnny, you know, you and I talk about that. That's kind of sometimes a little strange, because in our realm of being professors, you know, there is this kind of sensibilities of going, you know what? I got my PhD. I already know how to teach. And the reality is that, you know, we've sat there and said, oh, no, not necessarily true.
Well, yeah, Tim. I mean, I actually have met very few people who have their PhD who actually claim to know how to teach. They're just sort of thrown into it. And I'm not talking about in the world, right, of education. So higher education, right? When we're talking about like this college, we're just chopping it up. It's a fancy word for college. It's, you know, what comes after, right, high school. And I mean, because high school, get it, higher. You got to be just really fancy wordplay there. But it's just, you know, it's just college. And so in colleges of education, where people go to learn to be teachers, where a lot of the folks who we have on as guests and things, you know, researchers of K-12 schools, of policy and all that, it is more often than not that those people have really good teaching skills, because many of them were teachers or they're really close to education and they spend some kind of time, usually a considerable amount of it, really practicing and honing the craft, if not doing it and researching it, and both those. So there's a kind of little distinction there. But by and large, Tim, this is what's really cool about where you're on location. By and large, when you become an expert, right? And I'm for the folks on the Zoom and that can read the video. Oh my gosh, I'm all over the place. They can see the video and read the context clues, right, of my scare quotes. You know, this whole thing of you are an expert when you get your PhD. I put the quotes around expert, but yes, to a varying degree, you have become the like a world's leading expert as a researcher on that particular topic. Well, you get hired to continue to do that research, but also to teach all the people who want to learn from the experts. So you're kind of thrown into this thing called higher education without the guarantee, if you're the student, that the person teaching you might not actually know how to teach or be taught in teaching. So the really cool thing about this, Tim, is that this has been a gap in higher ed because, one, we know for learners, you can't just sit and listen to some expert, you know, give you all the facts or just kind of, you know, the banking model that our guest Sierra talked about a couple of days ago. You know, that whole model of like the expert just going to come up here and talk about all their knowledge and it's going to go into my head. That's not how it works. Right. And so this fact, the fact that we need to, by and large, support not only our K-12 teachers and our pre-K teachers and all of those folks in the best ways to teach young children, but we also need to support the educators who are teaching the almost grown folks, right, who are in college or beyond. And so that's kind of where you're at, Tim. You're on the ground learning from and with and talking to people who specialize, right, in how to support better teaching at the college level.
Absolutely, Johnny said it is the National Higher Education Teaching Conference. And you, great breakdown though, too, because I think, yeah, a lot of people, when you're talking, so you and I, we've got our PhDs. We started off as classroom teachers, got our master's degrees, and got PhDs, learned to be researchers around teaching and learning. But people forget a lot though, too. And if you've been to college, you know, the reality of being an expert is that degree gives you that expert status. But a lot of times, Johnny, point this out, the reality is that there may or may not have been, usually there has not been, you know, if you got a PhD in math, in history, in chemistry, you worked your butt off, you did some incredibly hard research, you got your PhD, you're an expert, but you didn't have anything around the realm of how do you then go and teach that? And that has been a huge gap in teaching and learning in higher education, because the assumption that people who have a PhD or, quote, have the knowledge are good teachers, that's just not necessarily true. And so the idea here that there is an entire national conference devoted to teaching excellence in higher education, in colleges. So around here, there are history professors at this conference. There are art professors at this conference. There are chemistry professors at this conference. There are communications professors at this conference. There's an artificial intelligence expert here at this conference talking about teaching with artificial intelligence. Yeah, I know, right? The whole idea. But it's a celebration and honoring good teaching in colleges. And what we're doing here too, just so people remember, this was our guest last week, Jonathan Gurko, American Colleges and University Educators. Yeah, publicization. Jonathan is hosting this conference, ACUE, American Colleges University Education, right there. Jonathan invited me out to this because he had such a great time on Busted Pencils. He's like, you got to come and meet some of the people that are doing great teaching and learning in higher education. So here I am on the ground, Minneapolis. Yeah, Boston, and I got to talk to Jonathan with the Boston Truly Some Pencils. And hopefully Jonathan's going to get a chance to come on, if not tonight, maybe tomorrow night, because he's actually now signing his book, Publicization, that we talked about. He's out there hobnobbing, having a good time. But, you know, Jonathan created AQ, this organization. He's one of the founders of this organization that celebrates, not just celebrates, honors and really pushes the boundaries to say, you know what, if you're going to teach, doesn't matter if you're teaching kindergarten, doesn't matter if you're teaching graduate level chemistry, you got to have good teaching. And so here, again, celebrating, honoring, and saying, what is it that makes teaching great? Well, there's lots of different things. And so a great chemistry teacher, a great art teacher, and these are professors, PhDs. So, Johnny, I am excited to be here on the ground and just looking at the the number of people here who are just celebrating teaching, good teaching.
Also great. Learning from one another.
Yeah,
like, right. Like, I mean, so I'm glad you're there partying with the teachers, but learning and celebrating, I guess I sense this energy of optimism you have that there are really great educators converging on the Twin Cities over there, Minneapolis, not too far from Wisconsin. A lot of our listeners, you know, across the state of Wisconsin, not too far over. But Tim, you made the trek, right? And you're chopping it up with all these folks. And I can't wait to hear what unfolds in the next couple of days. You know, we at least got tomorrow's show for the weekly wrap up where you can report out and maybe bring some friends on. This is cool, man.
I'm hoping. So, I am absolutely hoping.
So chopping it up a bit with you, Tim, and I know we're going to be going to break here in a minute, so we won't dive into too heavy of a topic, but man, I just want to revisit last night. Some really awesome conversations that came to the surface. Some really great stuff with the live remote. I'm calling it the, you know, the Democratic rally, that the party, the listening party at the Minocqua Brewing Company yesterday. So some really great conversations that came out of that. But just your aftermath, your thoughts, you know, like we took guests right to the end. So Tim and Johnny didn't get to break it down, but I was just curious, you know, did you enjoy it? I saw a big smile on your face. So tell us about it.
I thought it was a great night. And talk about the support, civic media, producers, engineers, all of the technicalities that went into seriously doing a remote. All of that, pulling it off, being able to have a live microphone in Milwaukee Brewing Companies in their tap room, having all of those conversations, and, you know, really talking about, let's get the Democratic community around Minocqua Brewing Company. Let's get them registered to vote. We got to talk to, you know, a great friend, and hope, you know, we put the invitation out to him, the president of Madison Teachers Incorporated, Michael Jones, and so we got the invitation so we can have Michael back on the show. But, you know, Kirk doing all that work with Minocqua Brewing Company, all of the Democratic Party there, you know, to get out, have a nice time, drink some beers, but mostly and more importantly, you know, coming together to make sure that people are registered to vote, doing their civic duty. So civic media being there, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Johnny. Yeah, I'm going to check back in from Minneapolis when we get break.
Only chance, let's take this one day at a time. I'll hold your hand if you hold mine. The time that we kill keeps us alive.
I was a teenage anarchist looking for
yes. Johnny, this sounds like your song, A Teenage Anarchist, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, let the music play. Johnny, though, great show, as you said last night.
Yeah.
Live from the Minocqua Brewing Company tap room. Kirk being there, you know, Wisconsin Public Education Network, enjoying the time being there. You know, yeah. Whoa.
There we go. Right. No, it was awesome.
There we go. And
I loved you know, what you're talking about. The song, the break-in, the teenage anarchist. But a little correction for you, Tim. I'm a grown man anarchist. I'm not an anarchist. So that's also part of my, like, love for yesterday was a little bit of the chaos, a little bit of the all sides kind of shared. I love some energy around organizing the vote. Even though as an anarchist, I'm like, okay, voting is an important part of democracy, but we have a whole lot more to do than just check a box. We're kind of in the mess we're in because democracy has been reduced to checking a box. That said, we also really need to vote because it's really dang important. But yeah, I love this. Love the lead in, love the song. Love the stuff we were talking about last night on the show. Yeah,
Well, think about what Kirk's doing there in the neighborhood, though, too, really pointing out and saying, like, you know, he intentionally put Minocqua Brewing Company, you know, in a neighborhood where they're, you know, trying to bring about more democratic participation. And I mean that, you know, participation in democracy, and really talking to the teachers in the Madison area to get out, you know, to get the teachers registered to vote. And then, though, Johnny, have the teachers go into the community to talk to their, you know, we love this concept, talk to their neighbors there, and get them registered to vote. Talk to them about the issues that are important. Do some conversations. Say, you know, I'm here. Do you know that, you know, why, do you know why we go to referendum, as Michael Jones was saying? Is it really, you know, and having that conversation. So the work teachers are doing by going door to door in those local neighborhoods to inform our neighbors about the issues at play, particularly around public education and the reality and the threat that there is. And there's a threat. There's an absolute threat to public education, and we know that. And so the easiest way to push back on that threat, Johnny, guess what? You know, check the box. You got to check the box. You got to do more than that. You got to get active. You got to know. But we need people checking the box, because you know, the last thing I want to see in November is the, oh man, I'm afraid to mention it, Johnny, but you know, what would happen, the possibility if the Democrats.
Well, the panic that everyone's in, you would think it was
beautiful. I know.
I mean, the panic.
I know. I
like, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Oh no, not an election. Here it comes. What are we going to do? I'm telling you, this is the anarchist coming out today. if anybody wants to take up a beef with it, call us up, give us a call. But also, Justice on the Board, she woke the beast. Here it is. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it is like, okay, we do have to vote, but I brought it up yesterday and I love energy around it. So I don't want to say it's instead of, but it's both. And we have to be organized and active on a local level. And I think, Tim, that's what you were getting at when you were talking about the great aspect of seeing people at the MBC, the Minocqua Brewing Company, having those conversations together, because they're organizing in a grassroots way, as neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community, city by city, county by county. You know, democracy is at its strongest when we have local involvement and participation. That is exactly, you know, kind of the essence of it. So I'm really excited to have that conversation. Because I think there's a clarification, too, I want to bounce back to, Tim. And I want to have further conversations about it. And the listeners had reached out and brought it up, too. You know, they were saying, hey, I want to know more about the neighborhood. And so it's really cool, because actually, you know, it sounded a little bit like, you know, Kirk was talking about this grassroots movement in a way that that folks could get together and get out. But then, you know, we had some texts and some callers say, hey, I love what y'all are doing. I love the energy around the democratic organizing. That's super important. Like, let's go local. Let's go like national. It's an important election. Agree with all that. They were like, want to know more about the neighborhood. So we're going to follow up because people were saying, how is that not just gentrification? And so, and I think it's going to be an important thing to talk about when we are talking about how we get together, especially as members of the Democratic Party, who have kind of a history of, you know, saying, you need to vote, you need to vote, you need to vote, you need to vote for us. Well, what are you actually doing for us? So, I mean, I'm just playing a little piece of that. The anarchist is coming out saying, like, it's not just that, like, because it's a two-party system, you get everything you want because we have to, or we have the lesser of two evils. I mean, that worked in past elections. I don't think it's going to fly in this upcoming one. It's a really critical one. So I want us to get more nuanced about what's actually being offered, and what is the benefit for all those people who are, as one of our great guests and regular voices, Heather, you know, from WPEN was saying, on the sidelines, let's get off the sidelines and get in. And I think folks are ready to get in, but they need more than just to be told that they need to vote Democratic. They need more.
Absolutely. They need to be inspired. And, you know, I'm going to point to this. You want inspiration, you take a teacher or the president of Milwaukee or Madison Teachers Education Incorporated, or Madison Teacher Incorporated, Michael Jones, being able to inspire. Again, you said, Johnny, it's not just about checking boxes. It's about getting active, understanding, and realizing. And really, though, too, taking advantage, though, of what Heather also remind us, there are new maps right now in Wisconsin. The ability to possibly get rid of that.
I love that.
You know, new map. The idea now that you can actually go in and possibly by voting, though, really bring those some balance back to whether it's, you know, it's been a totally in Wisconsin, you know, a Republican stack system because of the bad maps. They've got new maps. Get out there, get to vote. And Johnny, you know what, though, too, man, what a great night. I know I'm going to get back and head to the conference here, but I got to leave you with this so you can kind of come back and start with it, man. You know, we talk about, there's news, there's education news all the time. And I know this is going to sound like the Onion, but it ain't the Onion. This is true. They're in Florida, Moms for Liberty, through a school board. They went and had a book banned, and the book that they had banned is a book about book bans. So the book ban is banned. So, Johnny, figure that one out. Busted Pencils when you come back right there.
Yeah, Tim, we're going to ban you for the next half hour. Go get some work done, and we'll see you when you get back.
Thanks, brother, man. Really appreciate it.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. If you want to join the conversation, I know we had to say goodbye to Tim. He is rocking with the higher education, college teachers, learning to teach better college stuff. But if you want to join us, give us a call, 855-752-4842, or you can always drop a comment and we can respond to it. Great comment right before the break we got from Chris Casper. Unfortunately, with our two-party system, we've only got two choices until money is out of politics. And he puts in quotes, it'll never be. This is the reality of it. Younger candidates with new ideas are the answer. We have had enough of old white dudes calling the shots.
Oh, man.
Chris, I feel that. It, Jess, how you think you're feeling that one deep in your bones too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, please. And I don't know what we have to do. And that's partly why I say I get why our national elections are so important. I get why presidential elections. We can dive into it, and we will on this show a little bit today. And then in future shows about like Project 25 and all these like really conservative agendas for federal policy and education. But education is a state right. And we'll come back to that. The other thing is really about local elections. I am seeing, this is the thing, I'm energized and I'm excited because I am seeing at a more local level, at a state level, I am seeing really exciting candidates, really young, diverse people who are throwing down for democracy, who are really great at representing that. And I want to see that higher up. And I've been saying that for, I don't even know how many years now, like 16 years of, you know, really saying, okay, I think it's about to happen. And we get close And then where are we? And so I understand the importance and we'll work in that context, especially when we talk about, you know, the election coming up in November. On the same point, man, Chris, text in from Chris, really big one. I get that. And I feel it deep in my bones. Jess, you feel it too. It's like, okay, enough. Let's be part of the change.
Absolutely. There's something that you talked about a fair bit yesterday that, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, that education is the state right. Yep. And education policies are, for the most part, set at the state. I mean, there are some national policies, but
Big federal ones, and they come with dollars.
They so certainly imagine do. But those policies that really have the biggest impact on each individual person, those tend to be decided at the municipality level, at the congressional district level, at the local level. So while the national elections are huge, please vote in every election.
Yes, please vote in every election. And don't, like Chris, Jess, and I, don't lose hope that the younger candidates with the new ideas, they're not even really new ideas. They're just ideas we haven't listened to really ever in a leadership level. But I'm talking about like there are folks out there. You are that folks. If you're a listener out there and you're saying like, I could be that change. Certainly you can be that change at a local level. And I don't just mean like on your block, although that matters too. I mean, like in your, like Jess was saying, in your, you know, district, in your, you know, county, in your state, in your school, running for school board, right? These kinds of positions are really important. And I do see them being radicalized in a good way, in a radicalization and a bend towards human rights and democracy. And so I get excited and energized by that, because then it's like, womp, 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 when we get to the presidential election, it's super important. But it's like, how much do we have to explain? We really, really want something different. And by different, I don't mean more fascist.
Right.
And I'm by no means referring to, you know, the presidential candidate in the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, as fascist. I think he is, you know, a worthy, you know, politician running for an office. You know, I would want more.
Certainly. He's competent.
Yeah, he's mid. He's meh. Like we've said that.
Mid,
like,
we're pulling it, in the alpha slang.
Yeah. I had a great conversation, little cross show promotion, Maggie Dawn's show on earlier in the day. I know some listeners, you catch it too. I mean, it's a great show. Got to chop it up with Maggie yesterday, and we talked a fair bit about, you know, Biden, like what would our wish list be for Biden? And you know what? It's all stuff that's sort of no brainer for younger. And it's not really, I don't want to sound ageist, because you don't need to be young to be hip to the vibe. Like, I'm just saying, like, it generally tends to be a youth voice that's like, enough already. Let's do this differently. Let's do this better. But like Chris reminded us, this is what we're in. And so we can be very active at a local level to change that, but we also got to do everything we can. It's all hands on deck. And I really hope, and this is one of my dreams, I hope I wake up and there's something really radically different that's going to be about this fall election, because I mean, we're going to talk about it a lot. We're going to work all hands on deck to prevent fascism from taking over the election. But also, we don't want to beg for crumbs and for less than every single person in this country deserves. And I think we could do better on all fronts. So let's get to that. But before we get back to the weight of some of that stuff, right, and the anarchist angst that I feel in today, just thanks for the music. But you know what, listener? It's the last day. It's the last day for Sconny Summer.
Second right? to last tomorrow. Day.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be the last day. So this is one of the last times I get to read one of my favorite promos ever, Sconny Summer. Civic Media's Sconny Summer Text to Win giveaway is on. It's only on for today and tomorrow, then it's done. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for codes announced at the top of odd numbered hours. That's 7, 9, and 11 a.m. and 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. to text in for your chance to win. Stay tuned to hear the next code from my man Pete Schwabe at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. That's next hour, right? So stick around for my man Pete. Prizes include Wisconsin Dells prize packs, each giveaway hour, and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets each day. Entering just once will put you in the running for the grand prize of a weekend staycation at a getaway in a beautiful Wisconsin locale. When you text in, you'll receive a bounce back text with a link to check your voter registration and sign up for Civic Media news and podcasts. When you do that, you'll earn bonus entries towards all available prizes for today and tomorrow. The Scotty Summer Giveaway is over tomorrow, so listen closely at the hours and get those texts in. What a fun contest, or whatever you want to call it, like a giveaway. What a great way for our awesome listeners to be, you know, having some fun, getting some great prizes, and enjoying our show. We got Jack from Merrimack on the text. Fast thumbs, Jack. If you think real education has been repressed now, look at Project 25. All findings, scientific and educational, have to be aligned with conservative values. In other words, give the results and we'll show how to get them. Yeah, Jack brought this up. It came up on our show yesterday, and it's part when we're talking about this, like the importance of elections and things that are going on. You know what? This Project 25 thing, it's sort of like, it's pretty detailed. And we've been diving into it. And in the context of education, it is unabashedly saying, we would like to do away with the federal Department of Education. So some of those services will just go away. We'll get into what those are. We're going to have whole shows on this, I guarantee it. But, you know, that in general, that branch of the office is going away if Project 25 is real. And I say that if, because two things have to happen. One, the election has to go a particular way. Two, a whole lot of people actually have to be like, yeah, this is a really great plan. Sadly enough, there are a lot of people who really think this is a good plan. It is unabashedly saying it will all have to be aligned to conservative values, right? So that's a really kind of important thing. We'll come back to it, because not only do we have great texts from Jack from Merrimack, we got Joanne on the line from Madison. Joanne, how you doing?
Really good. I've got a kind of Captain Obvious comment. Hearing about this amazing conference over in Minneapolis, yeah, reminds me of how much work educators do over the summer. If you're not involved in education, sometimes you don't recognize that those 3 months are precious in terms of how to learn new talents, network, all of that stuff. And now with AI on top of it, skills that we all have to refresh and know and integrate into our daily practices as educators, it's pressure that's enormous. And then the political stuff on top of that. I mean, this is the summer. This is the hectic summer of all time. And I hope that the educators who are listening realize that they'll need to take some time off for vacation too and relax, because there is even more coming in fall.
Yes, Joanne, thanks for the call. And I don't think it's as obvious as you said. I think it's important that you brought it up. So really appreciate that perspective, because I know unless you're an educator and you're listening and you're wondering, like, summer, we're like, yeah, it's summer for most teachers. School is out this week, or it's been out for a few weeks across our country. And most of colleges are on break or in between semesters, or if they're in a traditional academic calendar, they're out for summer. But this, the teachers are busy all the time. They're always working, and there is always work to do. Remember, even for the people who are like, yeah, but then you have this break, this time off in the summer. Well, Joanne reminded us we need that time off, because we don't have a 40-hour work week. We just don't. And I know, and I'm not saying that other people do in a lot of, like in other, there are hardworking people across many professions that also need to advocate that they need breaks too. It might not be in the same form as like July and August, but you need to be able to breathe. We need to be able to slow down. We need to be able to take care of ourselves and one another. And Joanne, so I wish it was more obvious, but I appreciate you bringing it up. And yeah, there's all these college educators or higher education faculty learning how they can better teach. I'm excited about that, because Joanne, you're right. Even being a veteran teacher, I think I'm pretty I like to say I'm pretty good at my craft, but I'm always learning and there's always new things. And Joanne hit the nail on the head. This year, this past few years have been a lot of new things at once, a whole lot. They're exciting things, right? Largest social uprising of all of our lifetime, right? Learning how to teach even more with more diverse knowledge and attention to diverse cultures and ways of identifying. It's been awesome to be a learner and to be a teacher in this political moment. Also, democracy on a lifeline. That's stressful, but it's super important that we all commit to being the best kind of teachers we can and to strengthening public education. At the same time, we are coming off of COVID. That was really wild for a lot of people all around the world, but especially for teachers, right? Teachers out there, there was a lot of learning. I know for me, it was like a fast learning curve I was thrown into on how not only to teach online, because I knew about online teaching, but I hadn't done a lot of online teaching, but do it in real time with Zoom rooms and all kinds of video. And then right as it was starting to like kind of become part of my teaching craft, right? And I was learning about it, I was reading the distance learning playbook, right? All the different ways to kind of maximize and be the best teacher I could be with the tools that are available to my students and myself. Boom. Now I'm back in the classroom, but in a way I had never been before. Some students are online, some students are, you know, live and then video conference, some are there, and now there's like three competing pedagogies. That's a fancy word us educators like to say for like the science of teaching. It's just a fancy word for like how we teach and the research that informs it. So my teaching craft really took a lot of turns and it was like all over the place. And it's been a high amount of learning for all of us educators. So Joanne reminded us to take a break. That's exactly what we're going to do here at Busted Pencils, is take that break and we'll be right back with you just after this great music and a little bit of words from our sponsor. Back, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, the last leg. Stick around, check out my man Pete Schwaba's show. You got the Scani Summer giveaway at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. Get that code, text it in. Listeners, you know the drill, right? So get on it. But we were talking right before we went to break about the importance of breaks. So that was a good timing. So thank you, Joanne Caller, for your wise reminder for educators out there to take breaks. Even though you're always working, you're always teaching, you're still on, even though technically you're off, we tend not to be great at taking breaks, and we need to for our health, for our effectiveness, for the children. If not for you, for the children, they need you to take a break too. You got to regulate. Regulators mount up. So it's really important to take those breaks. Thank you, Joanne, for reminding us. Not always something I'm the best at, I'll admit, Jess. I'm bad at taking breaks. So working on that. Tim is boots on the ground. He's not taking a break right now. He is, you know, at that Higher Education Educators Conference. It's got a lot of acronyms. He'll fill us in on it tomorrow. We'll be able to chop it up with him, and I bet you. I know my man, he is a man of the people, right? He's going to rustle up some folks who I bet join us on the show tomorrow. I just have a hunch. If not, he'll have loads of great stories because the texts are coming in with great, great shots from this conference. And I'm like, man, how come this doesn't look like the kind of conference I'm typically at? It looks like they're at the Sphere. I mean, there's kind of like, so there, these teachers are real. He wasn't joking. They are celebrating. They're learning to teach together. So that's pretty cool.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Good for them. I do want to come back around to, because I think it's really on the minds of a lot of us when we do talk about the election and we do talk about what it means for education. And we started to just scratch the surface, because that's kind of where we're at with it. I mean, we do have a detailed report, again, that Project 25, what it means for public education. We wanted to take a whole show and do that and really bring on some people who have like really taken an even closer look than myself and Tim have at, you know, the 44 pages of the 900 some pages that specifically tell us about the plans for education. And so that I think that's important to take a close look at. But in summary, for a listener out there said, like, the last couple of shows, people have been talking about Project 25 and I've heard it in other contexts, but not necessarily related to education. Here's the big quick takeaways before we wrap up the show tonight. If you're thinking about, in general, why so much alarm, or what's like the big concern? And there are related and tangent ones. Believe me, this is like a can of worms. Once you start to open a few of these, you'll realize that they don't operate as single concerns. They're connected to a lot of things that moves far beyond the scope of just public education. But one is, you know, the Project 25 advocates for, or basically promises, that the Department of Education closes. And so that means that in the way it currently operates, if you read kind of closely, it closed down some of the things. This is big because there are really important payments of money that go out to states through work. And there's a lot of advocacy and a lot of important civil rights work that is underwritten by the Department of Education, both under Republican and Democrat. Historically, you know, administrations, that's been a place, the role for federal policy, you know, speak about the importance of everyone's rights in this country and to ensure civil rights are valued at the state level. So states can't just kind of go off on their own and, you know, decide to be, breaking human rights laws everywhere. Although we come back to, education is a state right. So we'll get into those nuances, because there can be federal cases that are heard when a state isn't quite in compliance, usually around these civil rights kinds of things. That's one of the things that the Project 25 does threaten. It says by abolishing that office, it also sort of enforces, and it will, you know, be replaced and enforced, that all kind of efforts need to be aligned with conservative values. And so it would essentially, the reboot of at federal education department would be statistics and fact finding. So kind of research, I put some quotes around that for people watching the video, research for educational statistics and findings to support conservative values. They have to be aligned with and support conservative values. So this is essentially a think tank takeover of a democracy. It is a fascist government's plan to say, here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do in regards to public education. Also, as a highlight of this, I guess I'm sort of using the sarcasm because it's not really a highlight, but a key point, or like a real bummer, is also that it further greenlights, or it's in efforts to, as part of that pushing conservative values, more privatization of schools, and in fact, really like the model being pointing towards schools that have gone fully to school choice and vouchers. So this has decimated urban schools. This has decimated rural schools and communities. This is simply not shown to have strengthened the economy or strengthened education for many communities. What it does is it lines the pockets of the people who are investing in private education as a profit space, not as a place to increase the quality of education. That's sort of the myth that gets purported. So these are big things that are likely to be unrolled and with enough time for us to really talk about them. And that's what I really hope to do on Busted Pencils. Tim and I both talked about this. Like, do we give time to really unpack in this Project 25? Because neither of us are big Trump fans, but that's not going to help the issue. So yes, we would love to hear from you, listener, as you're kind of going along with us. Remember, you can always call us 855-752-4842. Save it in your phone. Give us a call. Because we want to walk through, like, why look at Project 2025? Well, because it is important to understanding what we decide to do with our election, with our voting. Really, if we want to combat this conservative value takeover, but also really make sure we keep diversity, then we have to understand what the plan is and why and what we need to be responding to. So lots of that coming up on Busted Pencils. Tomorrow, we get high energy Timbo back on the show. My man Timbo sliding back in to talk about what college teachers are learning over there in Minneapolis. Jess, I'm sure you and I will chop it up to review the week, but I'll be with Anya because Jess is going to be taking a break like Joanne suggested. So Jess, we will see you when you come back. Thanks for all you do.
I'll miss you guys, but yes, I need that time to regulate too.
Absolutely. So let's regulate and be back tomorrow. Listener, we appreciate you. This is Busted Pencils.